In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live in it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Entry number 114, May 8th, 1932, from Volume 30. My blessed daughter, doing one's own will is so very grave that it would be a minor evil if the creature were to impede the course of the sun, of the sky, of the wind, of the air, of the water, and yet impeding this course would cause such disorder and terror that man could live no more. And yet this great evil would be nothing in comparison to the grave evil of doing one's own will, because by doing this, it is not the course to created things to become impeded, but the course to her very creator. Adam, with removing himself from our will, stopped the course of the gifts that our will was to give to his beloved creature. If he could, he would have forced God to immobility. Our supreme being, in creating the creature, wanted to be in continuous correspondence with her. He constantly wanted to give her new gift. He wanted to give her many beautiful surprises without interruption. Now, by doing her own will, the creature silently says to her creator, withdraw. I don't know what to do with your gifts. If you speak to me, I don't understand you. Your surprises are not for me. I am sufficient to myself. And with reason, she says this because without my will, that is her primary life, she lost her life and the capacity to store my gifts, as well as the ability to understand our celestial language, thus making herself estranged to our most beautiful surprises. The creature, by not doing our will, loses the divine life, the most beautiful, the most interesting, the most necessary act of her creation, and of how she was created by God. This is why, as man removed himself from our fiat, he disarranged himself so that at every step he vacillated, because he rejected the vital act of his life and detached himself from the stable and permanent act that was to live with him as one single life, such as our divine will is. In this way, we feel immobilized by man because we want to give and we cannot. We want to speak and he doesn't understand us. It is as if from far away, we would make our sorrowful laments heard by him by saying to him, oh man, put a stop to it. Call back in you that will you once rejected. It will turn its glance away from your evils. And if you call it back, it is ready to take possession of you, forming in you its kingdom of dominion, of peace, of happiness, of glory, of victory for me and for you. Oh, don't persist in wanting to be enslaved and living in the labyrinth of your ills and miseries. I didn't create you this way, but I created you King of yourself, King of all. Therefore, Call my will as your life, and it will make you know your nobility and the height degree of your place in which you were placed by God. Oh, how happy you will be, and you will content your Creator. Amen, fiat.
Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. This is a long passage that we have about Adam. And if you were able to follow this reading, you see that our Lord Jesus begins, this is only an extract of that passage, but here our Lord Jesus begins still in Luisa Picaretta, comparing basically what he says is a very great evil to basically to stop life or the divine life in man, or what Adam did compared to stopping, if we could, we of course we don't, we are not able to stop the sun and scorch and everything, but he mentions that if we were able to do that, that will be a minor evil compared to the act of Adam departing from the place in which God created him from the beginning, which is the act of living in that in union. Okay, so then when, as he continues, he explains how Adam, by departing from that place in which God created him, which does in that act, that one act or in which he was supposed to remain in that permanent act of that union of the two wills. Then Adam, by removing himself from that will, just by doing the act of removing or from departing from that will in which God created him in that union, is by doing that he stopped God from giving all the gifts. And we know that at the beginning Adam was receiving all these attributes of God. Basically he was growing in the likeness of God, of his creator. He had his image impressed in the soul. He was growing in the likeness. So when we departed, when Adam departed from that union, he retained the image, but he lost the likeness. But that image that was so clear in the soul of Adam and Eve became blurred now. And it's in baptism that the image of God in us is being restored. That image through baptism is being restored. The image of God in all of us, it becomes so clear. So God makes us basically anew. So the divine life of God begins running in the creature again, as in the beginning we could say. And this divine life that he possessed, it was without any gaps. It was constantly flowing through man, constantly. So he was growing constantly in the image of God. There was a moment, there was never a moment that he was not growing in. He was constantly acquiring new capacity to receive beauty, love, everything that God is, divine sanctity, all of what God is. So he interrupted, this is what our Lord Jesus mentions, that he interrupted those many surprises that God was giving to the creatures. And then he also mentions that he lost the capacity because without the will of God operating in men, which our Lord Jesus mentions here, that that's he mentions here that this is her primary life, or was the primary life of men. Basically, the divine will, we know that is the source of all of us. The divine will is the source of everything that exists. So that divine will running in man gave him always a new capacity. And he mentions this. He mentions the word capacity. So he lost the capacity to store the divine gifts. And what are those divine gifts? We have in previous passages, we have read those. Beauty, love, everything that God is. Our Lord Jesus mentions divine sanctity. Or sometimes he mentions, he calls them, these gifts, divine qualities, which is the same as attributes. Everything that God is. So Adam lost the capacity to receive all of these gifts. And of course, because we participate, all the human race participates from that consequence, we inherit that blindness, that incapacity to receive. We inherit the incapacity to understand the divine language, as our Lord Jesus mentions here, the celestial language. We became spiritually blind, spiritually dead, spiritually deaf and paralytic and mute. All of the miracles that our Lord Jesus is doing in the Gospels, he had to do them. It was necessary for him to do it. Because at the physical level, he is restoring those senses. But at the spiritual level, this is what he is enabling us to go back, to acquire that capacity for God, to acquire that capacity to understand the divine language and the celestial language, to be able to see again. And this is what our Lord explains here. So now we receive that divine life that we lost through the fall of Adam and Eve. We receive it for the first time in the sacrament of baptism. And then it continues with confirmation, with the sacrament of the Eucharist. That's why the church calls them the sacraments of initiation, because they initiate us again into the life of God. That's why the church calls them the sacrament of healing, baptism, confession, anointing of the sick. Those are called also sacraments of healing because they heal us. It's like the sacrament of baptism heals us from original sin, which is the absence of God in us. So it restores the presence of God in the creature. And it heals us from original sin. And the other sacraments that I mentioned, they heal us from mortal sin and venial sin. So that divine life that Adam and Eve were receiving from God, because God was sharing his life and his life is divine. So this is exactly what that union of the two wills consists of. In the beginning, that God was sharing his life, was sharing his divine life with the creature. That's what the original state of grace and holiness consisted of, basically. Or that union in which Adam was placed consisted of God sharing himself with the creatures in a natural way, with every breath, with every movement, with every single act. He didn't need other channels. He didn't need the sacraments. He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need to be confirmed. He didn't need the Eucharist, because he was created in that single act, in that act that attached him to God, and God made for Adam to remain there. So this capacity that he was acquiring at every moment, of course, it was according to his capacity as a creature, because God is inexhaustible. And that was the life that God designed for us, for Adam at the beginning to have. It was a given and receiving, giving and receiving. It was supposed to be a reflection of, in a very small scale, a life in a very small scale compared to what happens at intra in God, that he gives himself totally to the Son, and the Son gives himself totally to the fathers. Our origin doesn't have to grow in the knowledge and in understanding of God the Father. He's able to receive him at once. But Adam was not in that capacity to receive everything from God at once, everything that God is in his totality, because he's a creature. But he was supposed to grow at every moment in the knowledge of God. And God was giving him that capacity. That's why when we talk about the book of heaven, of how to practice this divine science, how to put it into practice every day in our own vocation, so we find that it's a very simple way of living. It's universal. It's Catholic. It is for everybody. That here you don't need to be in a certain group or a certain vocation only, but that this embraces everybody. It's universal. That's why I say that this way of living is so Catholic, because the way Catholic means universal. And the way to practice it is to embrace it and to go back to the point of origin by saying, I give you my will. By recognizing that, yes, this union of the two wills is what constitutes our primary life. That it comes to crown everything that we do, that immediately places us back This way of living immediately places us back to the point of origin, that as soon as we made the act, the prevenient act is placing us back to that way of living. So notice that he's not placing us back to paradise because our Lord Jesus doesn't promise that. He promised us to live the life that we lost, to begin living eternity from here. Because Adam was living basically, yes, he was placed in the garden, but basically he was able to enter and to live in that eternal present of God by union, by the union of his will. By departing from that, basically he decided not to live in that eternal present anymore. So our prevenient act immediately places us back to this way of living, to the point of origin, even though we live in this world. But we are talking about that our acts will be able to enter there. And then with every single act, we will be able to acquire a new capacity to store those gifts, as well as the new capacity and ability to understand that celestial language that our Lord Jesus is presenting us through the writings of Luisa Picarreta. And that's making, as our Lord says, making us again work, operate in that way in which Adam and Eve were operating before the fall. But one of the terms that our Lord Jesus uses here is capacity to store the gifts of God. There is a passage in the gospel, one of the gospels, that our Lord Jesus says, store for yourselves treasures in heaven. So store for ourselves treasures in heaven is to do the acts in the divine will. There is a beautiful passage in the letters of Luisa Picarreta. I think is the letter of is one of the letters of Luisa, yes. And it's a letter that she writes before she dies. I think it's like an hour before she dies. And she writes something to her confessor. And her confessor writes down that also some notes. But in that letter that Luisa Picarreta writes to her confessor, she explains how she's able to see those acts that she did. And she says, now these acts, they are welcoming me. They are welcoming me. I can see them. They are all the acts that I have done in the divine will, very similar to the vision that she had of Father Anibal in Volume 22. But in that spiritual testament that she lives, she explains how she's able to see all these sons. And she sees a large road, a way. And she mentions that this is infinite. She doesn't see the end of it. She sees the light, the tremendous light. Remember, she lived a long time in practicing this way of living. Father Anibal He came to know this way of living and practice it and promote the arts of the passion, as he explains it in volume 22. But Luisa Picaretta, she formed basically her most of her life living in this way. And she's the recipient of this gift through which we come to know how to operate. And our Lord Jesus basically uses Luisa as an instrument to teach us, because that's the other part that we forget, that our Lord Jesus uses instruments. The disciples, they were his instruments to make himself known. We can go back also, the prophets, they were the instruments of God. And Luisa Picaretta, she's the instrument of God to teach us how to go back to the point of origin. That's why she's so important. But she is not the centrality of the message. She's the instrument. The centrality of the message is how to operate, how to go back. And of course, he needed a creature totally like us, born in original sin, so that we didn't have any excuse to say, oh, because this and this. And he himself explains that. So Luisa Picaretta, in that spiritual testament that she writes, in that father, I think it's her confessor, Don Benedetto Calvi, that saves that spiritual testament, in that we see that Luisa Picaretta mentions those acts as many sons of the divine will that have formed that long way for her to walk now and to go back. And she doesn't see the end of it, but she sees that they are so refulgent of light, so full of light. And she says, and this is now my way. It comes to mind also, when I read that, it came to mind the gospel. Jesus says, I am the way and the life. And if Jesus is operating in us, those are basically also the acts of Jesus. Jesus' acts. So he is the one who has formed in Luisa Picaretta those sons. And now he becomes the way for Luisa Picaretta to go back. And it's the same for us. He wants the same for all of us. So this, then Luisa Picaretta at the end, she says, and this is my way, and it will be the way that, and is the way that is being reserved for all of those by the Eternal Fathers, the way for all the souls who will live in the divine will, and this is the way for them to go back. So this is exactly what happens in the soul, that this way of living is so practical, so simple, so natural, so Catholic, that everybody can practice it. Everybody can live in this way. And even though it seems like we are not doing anything, we have to trust that it's happening. And we are so used to do things, probably like Martha. We are so used to do things like Martha that we forget that aspect, that it is union with the Lord. To be united with the Lord should be the goal. Everything else will come. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be given unto you. So we disarrange ourselves, basically, that's what the Lord Jesus says, by departing from that. And yes, basically what the Catechism mentions, that we lost that harmony that we possess. He disarranged himself so that at every step he vacillated because he rejected the vital act of my life. And we see that that degradation continues, but it is up to us to let our Lord Jesus now to arrange our interior again, now through the action of the Holy Spirit that begins in baptism for all of us and continues in confirmation and through the sacraments, that now these are divine channels for us to receive strength and divine grace, sanctifying grace, so that we may be able to remain in that, to remain stable and permanent in that union in which God wants us, in the union of his will. So this is the practicality of the divine will. And by reading, as our Lord Jesus tells us, in practicing that way of living, we recover the capacity and the ability to understand this divine science and the life of God in us, operating in us, and where God wants to take us. How can the creature say to God, I don't need you anymore. I want to be independent. I don't need your gifts. But basically that's what happened. And by departing from that state in which God created him, he lost the ability to speak directly to God, to hear him again. That's why I mentioned that it was necessary for our Lord Jesus to perform those miracles. And now, through this divine science also, this is the way to come out of that labyrinth of the human will in which we have been living. Basically, by departing from that union, we fall into a maze. And ever since the fall, we have been trying to get out of that, to find out the way to go out of that maze, of that labyrinth of the human will. And we see that the saints, with so many sacrifices and using different ways, human ways, they have come so close to understand the reason why we experience all of this. It comes to mind St. Augustine, that after he reflects so much, he says, I have found the root of all evils, of all evil. I have found that the root of all evil is the human will. Of course, we know that the human will in itself is not evil. It's a gift that God gave us. But it becomes evil for us when it operates on itself. Because what it does to the soul, it disarranges the soul. That harmony that existed is no more. Or to bring St. Thomas Aquinas, that in trying to explain evil, He says, I have arrived to the conclusion that evil is the absence of something that ought to exist. If we see that in our case, how God created Adam. After the fall, there is an absence of something that ought to exist. God met for the human and the divine to be together, the two wills together in harmony. So we see that in creation. We see that Adam is placed in that union. So before the fall, we see that this is how God intended to be. It is how it ought to exist. But after the fall, we see that there is the absence of something in Adam, which is the divine will. And what happens in baptism? We recover that something that we lost, which is the divine life. We recover that something, that divine life. And many of them, just to give you an example, trying to understand these disorders and why this disorder, why these tendencies. And our Lord Jesus, through these writings, he points out and he tells us very plainly the reason why. Because Adam departed, he withdrew from that place in which I created him. We were designed or predestined to be in this union. And he departed from that, so he lost the capacity to store those gifts in himself. And now, as through these writings, we encounter the way to go back, to get out of that labyrinth of the human will, and to get rid of all our miseries, of the miseries in which the human will brings us in. And he says, I didn't create you in this way. Then you can go to the catechism, and exactly this is what the catechism teaches in 375, 376. You can see about the harmony, the radiance of all the dimensions of man, that God was sharing his divine life with the creature, thus Adam was growing in the image of God. And when our Lord Jesus says, I didn't create you in this way, but I created you king of yourself. This is very important. In the hours of the Passion, our Lord Jesus says that one of the reasons he was crowned with thorns, it was to restore us that crown that we lost. Because when Adam departed, basically he said, I don't want to be a king. I want to be the king. And Jesus is King of Kings. So we need to understand this part. He's the King of Kings. Who are the other kings? In baptism, we hear the priest saying, so you may share in the office of Christ as king, as a prophet, and as a priest. Priest, prophet, and king. So by virtue of our baptism, we become members of the divine family, sons and daughters of God, the King. So when do we become kings? How do we become kings of ourselves? When we master ourselves. If we let ourselves be mastered by the divine will, basically, the divine will place everything in order in us. But if, as long as we live out of this union of the divine will, we will never be able to go back to that harmony. We will always have that concupiscence that will that remains with us forever. But we can master our senses. And the church has been teaching us that we can master those attractions, those tendencies through virtue, the opposite, through sacrifice. Saint John of the Cross, he mentions that to mortify ourselves, that was his rule, to mortify yourself, mortify yourself. As you experience the appetites of the body, mortify yourself, mortify yourself. Mortification, mortification. In that mortification, you mortify yourself by denying yourself of things. Is the teaching of the church also. Fasting, prayer, intensify your prayer. Mortification, all of that. To master yourself, to become king of yourself. But what our Lord Jesus is saying, I didn't create the human race in this way. This is a disorder. This is an unnatural. So through this divine science that I'm presenting now, I'm showing you the way to go back. And what you need is to understand that you need to come back to the union of my will. Because this is the primary act. This is the source of your life, basically. This is what will give you nobility. This is what will restore in you the nobility, and it will take you to that higher place that belongs to you. And then that will constitute also your eternal happiness. Beginning living in this way will constitute your eternal happiness. Then you will begin storing for yourselves treasures in heaven. Every single act is a treasure that you are storing for yourselves in heaven. It's a new sun that is paving your way to heaven, as Luisa Picaretta mentions in her testament, a spiritual testament. So everything comes back to for us to understand that we need to go back to the point of origin, that we don't have to wait until we die. No, that we now we have the understanding through these writings, and we can see through the catechism that there is nothing that goes against what the church has been teaching. Our Lord Jesus is in this passage, he's mentioning how to live in this way is a disorder. Man has been disarranged, he says. He has fallen into a labyrinth of miseries. And in the Catechism, the Church says, yes, in the beginning, there was only harmony. Man was the master of himself. This is what 377 in the Catechism mentions. So how do we master ourselves? The Church has been teaching us again through sacrifice, through penance, mortification. But now this is the way to let the Lord do in us so that we really master ourselves. And in doing that, he will bring us to perfection a little by little, a little by little. And then we will be able to see one day what we have been doing. But remember, in a way, we are even more blessed than the saints in a way, because we are able to gain merits. The saints, they are not able to gain any merit anymore. They are not able basically to increase their love for God. We are able. We don't see what they see, but hopefully one day we'll see it. They see what we don't see, but they cannot experience in their souls what we experience, even though we don't see it. There are passages in the Book of Heaven that the Lord says, the saints in all heaven is asking me to give you more pain and suffering. All heaven is asking me to give you a little bit more of pain and suffering. Not to give you relief. Why? Because they are able to see what is happening in the soul of Luisa. So with that, let us finish that passage of the Book of Heaven and let's go to the letters.